first book of the Bible, the book of Genesis, book of Genesis chapter 17. Chapter 17, reading the first 8 verses, then going on to the verse 15 to read a couple of verses, please. Genesis chapter 17, commencing a reading at the verse 1. And when Abram was 90 years old and 9, the Lord appeared to Abram and said unto him, I am the Almighty God. Walk before me and be thou perfect. And I will make my covenant between me and thee, and will multiply thee exceedingly. And Abram fell on his face, and God talked with him, saying, As for me, behold, my covenant is with thee, and thou shalt be a father of many nations. Neither shall thy name any more be called Abram, but thy name shall be called Abraham, for a father of many nations have I made thee. And I will make thee exceeding fruitful, and I will make nations of thee, and kings shall come out of thee. And I will establish my covenant between me and thee, and thy seed after thee in their generations for an everlasting covenant, to be a God unto thee, and to thy seed after thee. And I will give unto thee, and to thy seed after thee, the land wherein thou art a stranger, all the land of Canaan, for an everlasting possession, and I will be their God. Down to the verse 15. God said unto Abraham, As for Sarai thy wife, thou shalt not call her name Sarai, but Sarah shall her name be. And I will bless her, and give thee a son also of her. Yea, I will bless her, and she shall be a mother of nations. Kings of people shall be of her. Then Abraham fell upon his face and laughed and said in his heart, Shall a child be born unto him that is 100 years old, and shall Sarah that is 90 years old bear? Just down to verse 18 and to verse 9, please. And they said unto him, Where is Sarah thy wife? And he said, Behold, in the tent. And he said, I will certainly return unto thee according to the time of life. And lo, Sarah thy wife shall have a son. And Sarah heard it in the tent door, which was behind him. Now Abraham and Sarah were old and well stricken in age, and it ceased to be with Sarah after the manner of women. Therefore Sarah laughed within herself, saying, After I am waxed old, shall I have pleasure at my Lord being old also? The Lord said unto Abraham, Wherefore did Sarah laugh? Saying, Shall I of a surety bear a child, which am old? Is anything too hard for the Lord? At the time appointed I will return unto thee, according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son. Then Sarah denied, saying, I laughed not, for she was afraid. And he said, Nay, but thou didst laugh. Amen. We know the Lord will indeed be pleased to bless even the reading of his precious word. Can I ask our brother, Mr. McIntyre, to bring the necessary announcements, please? Thank you. I want to begin tonight by reading Genesis 17, verse 17. We often think and ask the question, who was it that laughed whenever they said that she was going to have a child? We all know the answer. That was Sarah. But the previous chapter records for us in verse 17 of Genesis 17 that Abraham also fell upon his face and laughed and said in his heart, Shall a child be born unto him that is 100 years old, and shall Sarah that is 90 years old bear? And the first thing we want to think about tonight with this portion of Scripture is unbelief. And many people, whenever you question them about salvation, they are unbelieving. Of course, before anyone believes, they are unbelieving. And we must pray that they will believe. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. And that's what the Word of God says, of course, in Acts chapter 16, verse 31. Whenever the jailer asked the question before he killed himself, what must I do to be saved? And the answer was simply believe. And here Abraham and Sarah were filled with unbelief because God said that they were going to have a child and they just simply did not believe it. They laughed. And whenever you go around and talk to men and women and young people and challenge them about giving their lives to the Lord and giving up their sin, why will you not become a Christian? Many of them will laugh in unbelief. Laugh in ignorance and unbelief. And they will start to make excuses. Well, I'm too hard. I'm too old. God doesn't want me. God doesn't love me. And the list is absolutely endless. And it all sums up to unbelief. Because if these men and women believed that they needed to be saved, they would simply call upon the name of the Lord in order to be saved. But whenever we think about this portion, in verse 14, we think about Sarah. And the verse 14 says, is anything too hard for the Lord? And surely tonight, if the Lord is able to cause a 100-year-old, a 90-year-old to bear a child, humanly speaking, that's impossible. Humanly speaking, that is just not possible. Likewise, whenever we think about it, the salvation of your soul, the salvation of a child's soul, humanly speaking, that's impossible. We've done the mission this week in Cocker Valley, and over 100 children were gathered there. If I could physically have saved their souls, I would have done that. Every day we were having races, and the last day I challenged the boys and girls to a running race and said, I'm going to win this race with full confidence. And we ran the race, and I won it. And then they said, do it again. So we ran it again, and I won the race. And then they said, do it again. And we ran the race, and I won the race the third time. And they said, do it again. I said, no way, I'm knackered. But no matter how often, humanly speaking, running a race against the children is easy. But saving their souls, there's nothing whatsoever I can do. But we must think salvation tonight is God's business. Our responsibility is to present the unsearchable riches of Christ. Speak to you of the cross and the cross work of Christ Jesus on Calvary. And pray that God's Spirit will disturb you. God's Spirit will so work in your heart and trouble your soul that you cannot go out of this place, that you cannot sleep in your bed, you cannot go to your work. That's what happened to me. I sat in a meeting trembling, fear of leaving that building without getting right with God. God's Spirit was working in my heart. And that's what we must pray for, the Spirit of God to work in your heart that you might be saved. Nothing is too hard for the Lord. And not only is anything too hard for the Lord, nothing or nobody is too hard for the Lord. And you might think of your life. You might think of your family. You might think of your background. And you think, there's no way the Lord could save me. Listen, the Lord could save you, and it would be nothing to Him. But at the same time, the Lord could easily pass you by. And tonight, in case I forget to say it, if God's Spirit is working in your heart, and has been doing so for weeks and months and years, I pray you will come to Jesus. Because the Word of God says, my Spirit shall not always strive with man. And if you're troubling your soul, you must come to Jesus. Look to Jesus. Look and live. Abraham and Sarah were filled with unbelief. We are having a children's mission in September. And we think not many children might come. Many children might not come. But at the same time, many children might come. It doesn't really matter. But I want you to pray that God will so work in our hearts and save these little children that they can penetrate the homes of the gospel, penetrate men and women, grannies and grandes. The newspapers around this area every day are filled with columns of mourning. Suddenly. And we need to reach them before their name hits the paper. Because once it does, it's too late. We have that responsibility. And man or woman or boy or girl in the meeting tonight, don't leave it till September. We mentioned last week, this morning, about last week, four young people. They're almost history now. They're in their grave. Parents are still mourning, naturally, and will be for years to come. But the death angel surrounds this whole area, this whole country. And when your time comes, it will be too late. You need to come now. Abraham and Sarah were filled with unbelief and even denied it. Many people deny it, but nothing is too hard for the Lord. And I wonder tonight, are you filled with unbelief? You need to get rid of that unbelief and come believing. Look to Jesus. Look and live. Also, I want you to turn over to Genesis 30. Genesis chapter 30 is another portion of Scripture. It tells us about a particular woman called Rachel. Rachel was barren. She was broken. She was full of determination. And she said these words in the verse 1 of Genesis chapter 30. When Rachel saw that she bare Jacob no children, Rachel envied her sister and said unto Jacob, "Give me children, else I die. Give me children, else I die." And if we think of this mission in September, God's people must pray, "Lord, give us children, or the church is dead." In a generation of it passes, if we do not reach these children, the church is finished. This country is destroyed. We must plead like Rachel, "Lord, give us children, else we die." My friend in the meeting tonight, if you're unsaved, you need to pray, "Give me Jesus, else I die." Because if you die without the Lord Jesus Christ in your heart, if you die without the blood of the Lord Jesus sprinkled and poured out in your heart to take away your sin, you're dead. And the Bible makes it absolutely clear, without the shedding of blood is no remission. And if the shedding of if you have not got the blood to wash away your sin, ask the Lord Jesus to do that. My friend, you'll die in your sin and be cast into that awful place called hell. You need to learn from this portion and cry unto Jesus, "Lord Jesus, give me Jesus, else I die." And whenever we think of this particular portion, Rachel was full of determination. How much she wanted a child. How much do we want these children? And sinner tonight, how much do you want to be saved? You must have that desire. God will give you that desire. And that's the perfect time to come. We live in a world today, and it's going to increase more and more in this country, whenever people will say Jesus is one of the ways to God. Of course, the Bible says Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus tonight is the only way. There is no other way. Jesus says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. The world tells you there's many ways. The Bible says there's one way. God says there's only one way, and that's the Lord Jesus. Why are you trying so many other ways? Why are you trying the works? Why are you trying the church? Why are you trying behavior?" And the list is endless. My friend, tonight I urge you to come. Try the Lord Jesus. Whenever we think about salvation, I notice in someone's car driving in, the little scripture text which says, "How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation?" My friend, for you, there's no escape. During this week, not only were we doing the Bible Club, but we were also doing a camp on Oma in the Gorch and Glens in the Forest Park. And one of the games we're playing was Capture the Flag. And I'm one of those people, I don't like the referee games. I like to get stuck under one of the games and make sure we beat the other side. And one of the games, Capture the Flag, and if you get caught trying to capture a flag, you're put in prison. And there's no escape because you're caught. So I was determined not to get caught, and I didn't get caught. I was running through thorns, and if you saw my leg, it's all bleeding everywhere, it's cut to pieces.
And it made me think, whenever you're put in jail, it was impossible to get out because the guards were so tight everywhere. And that was just a game. That word escape. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? My friend, tonight, for you, there is no escape. You'll watch movies, you'll read books called The Great Escape. You'll read it on your news, you'll see it everywhere called The Great Escape. But without salvation, there's no escape. Once you go to hell, once you die without Christ, there is no escape. Today, if you hear His voice, harden not your hearts. There's no escape, there's no hope, there's no help, and there's no way back. While you're alive and have your faculties of mind, if God is prompting your heart, if you know you need to turn to Christ, my friend, you need and you must do it tonight. The Bible says, repent ye therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out. That's a little verse we taught the children this week. Repent ye therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out. What a beautiful verse. Repentance, sin, blotted out. And that lovely word, conversion. I love our authorized verse, and I love the words in it. Saved. And I love to teach children it so they can tell their friends how they need to be saved. Conversion, converted, blotted out on all these lovely words. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord, the Bible says, shall be saved. That was Rachel. She said, give me children, else I die. My friend, tonight you need to call upon Jesus. Give me the Lord Jesus, or else I die. I want you to turn over to Samuel, please. 1 Samuel. We're looking at several different mothers tonight and drawing some lessons. These mothers were barren, found with child. Picture of the sinner, barren without Christ. The lesson is just a parallel. But we want you to think about these things. 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 10. Of course, the book of Samuel, the story of Samuel, is a child's favorite. Ask many children who's your favorite Bible character. Many of them will say Samuel, very popular name. And ask many parents, what's your favorite character? Many of them will say Samuel. It's a lovely story. You've got the mother, you've got the child, and you've got God working throughout the whole story. It's a very heart-searching, it's a very heart-touching portion of Scripture. It's a great book about prayer. But I want you to notice the verse 10, if you notice what's happened. Again, Hannah found herself barren. And more than anything in the world, she desperately wanted a little child. In verse 9, rather, Hannah rose up after they had eaten in Shiloh. And after they had drunk, now Eli the priest sat upon a seat by a post of the temple of the Lord. And she was in bitterness of soul, and prayed unto the Lord, and wept sore. And she vowed a vow, and said, O Lord of hosts, if thou wilt indeed look on the affliction of thine handmaid, and remember me, and not forget thine handmaid, but will give unto thine handmaid a man-child, then I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life, and there shall no razor come upon his head. It came to pass, as she continued praying before the Lord, and Eli marked her mouth. Of course, you know the story here. Whenever we think about Eli, he saw Hannah, and she thought Hannah was drunk. But Hannah was not drunk. But Hannah, there's one thing about Hannah's life at this time, in this stage. Hannah was full of determination. She didn't care who was watching her. She didn't care what people thought about her. She was full of determination. She was full of brokenness of heart. And she desperately wanted a little child, a man child, a little boy. And the same way I believe with a sinner, God needs to break you. And God will often bring tears to your eyes and tears to your heart. He must see you, and you must see yourself in your sin. And whenever you think of God in His glory, and God in His perfection, and God in His holiness, and you see yourself down here as a sinner, and the separation is as far as the east is from the west, and you think of God's love, and what it cost God to send His only begotten Son unto this sin-cursed world, all the way to Calvary, every one of His friends rejected Him and walked away. He was beaten, He was scourged, He was mocked, He was laughed.
He was whipped and had that crown of thorns placed upon his head. And when he was on the cross, I was on his mind. Even now, that breaks my heart to think of God's love for me. And sinner, tonight, God must separate you so much to see how far you are away in your sin. When you see God's love in comparison, that will break your heart. And that will melt you, and that will bring tears to you. And then you will see the importance of repentance, telling God you're sorry, and pleading for Christ to come into your life. And that's a picture here of Hannah. Hannah, desperately, she had a specific request. And just like Hannah came and separated herself, she came away and she took time to pray. That's what you must do. You must come, just as you are. Without anything else, without your job, without your money, without your home, without your family. Just as I am, without one plea. That's the way you must come to the Lord Jesus. Eli thought she was drunk. But Hannah never cared what Eli thought. She desperately wanted a child. And Hannah, the Lord was pleased to answer that little cry. I want you to turn over also to the previous portion. The book of Ruth. Ruth is another example. Whenever I was looking at this here, it's just a verse 11. Naomi left with her husband and two sons. They got married and the three men died. And now we find a mother-in-law and two daughters-in-law standing together. Naomi tells the two daughters to stay in the far country. Go and find yourselves other husbands. Stay here. Settle down again in life. But they didn't want to. But finally, Orpha decided to go. Verse 11 of Ruth 1 says, Naomi said, "Turn again, my daughters. Why will you go with me? Are there yet any more sons in my womb that ye may be, that they may be your husbands?" The lesson I have here simply is, why wait for years to pass whenever you can come now to the Lord Jesus? That is another excuse that many people will wait. I want to wait until I get into high school. I want to wait until I leave school. I want to wait until I finish my apprenticeship, finish my studies. I want to wait till I get married. I want to wait till I have my family. I want to wait till my grandchildren grow up. Do you know what happens? The longer you leave that, the harder your heart becomes. And God's word again says, "My spirit shall not always strive with man." And Naomi was saying to Ruth and Orpha, "Are you willing to wait for 20 years? Until I have children and they grow up to be your husbands." In other words, it wasn't really a practical or possible scenario. And whenever we think of the children, are we going to wait for 20 years? The children in the schools today will not be in school in 20 years. They'll be left. Many of them might even be lost. We need to reach them now. And my friend, in this meeting, in a similar way, why are you going to wait for 20 more years? Why are you going to wait for 10 more years? Why are you going to wait for 2 more years? 2 more months, 2 more weeks. The reality is, in 2 hours, you could be in that hospital and people could be praying for your soul and you might not even have your IQ anymore because it's too late. Today, if you hear His voice, harden not your heart. Don't leave it. We're going around the country pleading with the children outside the church to come to the Lord. And our churches are filled with sinners, looking like Christians. Man looks on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart. And my friend, when you go home, look in the mirror and stop fooling yourself. Stop fooling yourself. We love you so much and we want to reach you. We don't want you to perish. The moment your Lord enters that grave, we can't pray anymore for you. You must come just as you are, as a sinner to Jesus. This was Naomi. So many people wait and wait. Proverbs 27 verse 1 tells us to boast not ourselves of tomorrow. Never mind 20 years. For thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. As if to say, why wait 20 years? Think of the children. The fields are white already unto harvest. Now is the time to go reaping, to go searching, to go looking, to go calling the little ones. Luke chapter 1 verse 35 is the final one we want to look at. course, we read here in Luke's Gospel of the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. Mary, found with child. Luke chapter 1, the verse 35 through to the verse 37. The angel answered and said unto her, "The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. For with God nothing shall be impossible." There's that parallel. Remember we said in Genesis 18:14, is anything too hard for the Lord? Is anybody too hard for the Lord? Are you too hard for the Lord? Are the children too hard for the Lord? Here we have in Luke 1:37, "For with God nothing shall be impossible." Not only was Mary found with child, but also her cousin, who was much older, Elizabeth, was also found with child. Nothing was too hard for the Lord. Unusual circumstances. Tonight maybe you come into the meeting. Many thoughts in your head, many thoughts in your mind. The thought of eternity was far away. The thought of getting saved was never in your mind. And tonight the Lord is calling. The Lord is knocking. "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door." God will never force his way into your life. He'll run after you and call you, but he'll not force his way in. It's like me coming to your house and knocking, hoping to come in. Unless you invite me in, I'll not come in. Just like the Lord Jesus, you need to invite him in. Say to little children, into my heart, Lord Jesus, come in today. Take my sin away. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus. I wonder if you've ever done that. Will you do that? Must remember that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Children in Africa, men and women in America, right to Coleraine. Men and women, the moment you're born into this world, you're born with that original sin, separated from God. That's why the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ is the only way to cleanse your heart from its sin. You must see that tonight. Pray that God will open your eyes. Eternity will be before you, will be real tonight. And I pray God will make it easy for you to come. Let's pray. Our Father, tonight we thank you, Lord, for patience. Give me children else I die.